We're looking to the Lord tonight to help God's servant, God's child, to bring his testimony. We welcome our brother Stephen with us this evening, and we're going to ask him to come and just simply tell you what Jesus Christ has done for him, what the Lord Jesus Christ has, just how the Lord has led him, how the Lord has lifted him. And we give God all the honor, we give him the praise, and we give him alone the glory. God bless you, brother, as you give your testimony.
Thank you. Good evening, friends. We'd like to thank the Reverend McCrae for the opportunity and invitation to come tonight and to tell you of the wonder of Calvary, to tell you how Almighty God can reach down and lift a sinner out of the gutter of sin and do a marvelous work in his life. Before we tell of the wonderful work of God, we'll just pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight, and we come claiming the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the darling of your bosom. We thank you, Father, for the one in whom you said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight." But yet, Lord, he was the one whom you sent from the very courts of heaven into this world. Lord, he was the one who bled and died at the place called Calvary. And Father, on that cross, the Lord God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. But Father, we praise you, he's not dead today. Amen. We praise you, Father, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And Peter could say on the day of Pentecost, "This Jesus, whom you crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ." And Father, tonight we proclaim him Lord of all. Amen. We thank you for so great salvation tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, that there's salvation for all tonight. And we ask of you, Lord, to save tonight. Amen. We pray, Father, that I may decrease and that Christ may increase. We ask of you, Lord, that Christ may have the preeminence tonight. Bind the strong man tonight, Amen. Lord. Cover us with the ribby blood of Christ, so that in all things he might have the glory. Exalt him tonight, Father, because we ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God save Jude. Forget about me. I'm too far gone. That was my prayer on the 19th of February, 2001. Is there someone here tonight, and that's where you are? You're more concerned with your friends. You're more concerned with your loved ones and members of your family than you are about yourself. You once walked with the Lord. Now you're as cold as ice. You once were in love with the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. And now you're out in the wilderness, cold and bare, bringing dishonor on the one that died for you. Sinner, we know where you are tonight. It's nothing to you. You don't care that the only begotten Son of God, the darling of his bosom, left the splendor of heaven. The one who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. You don't care, sinner. You don't care that he shed his ruby blood and died that you might be saved. Is it nothing to you, all ye who pass by? You know, it's a very serious thing to stand on the platform and preach the gospel. It's also a very serious thing to stand on the platform and tell people about the beauty of Christ. Folks, that's why every time I stand on a platform, I have to be very straight with people. That's why I have to be honest. So tonight, over the next half hour, bringing it down to ordinary language, there'll be no messing about.
What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Do you believe that Christ can save? Do you believe that there's enough power in the ruby blood that was shed at Calvary to save you? Do you? Do you believe there's enough power in the ruby blood that was shed at Calvary to restore you? All that sin. All of it. I want to tell you, friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. Such is the power of the blood of Christ. It cleanseth from all sin. How do I know? Because I stand here tonight redeemed, cleansed, pure, and praised. Open the Word of God, please, to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll begin to read, please, from verse 16. This is the inspired Word of God, friend. Whether you believe it or not, that really doesn't undermine it. This is God-breathed. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Turn over, please, to Proverbs chapter 23. I was up in my study reading the Word of God one night a few months ago, and I came across these verses in Proverbs chapter 23. I shouted at my wife. I shouted, Jude, come quick. And I think she thought something had happened to me. You know, folks, I began to read them. As I began to read them, I began to weep. I said, Jude, I never knew these verses were in the Word of God. Because this was me. Proverbs chapter 23, we'll begin to read at verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange woman, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. I was born on the 22nd of March 1968. To see if the calculation's going, I'll be 40 years old in another couple of months. My mother and father, Jack and Betty Law, both saved by marvelous grace early in life. I was brought up in Cambridge Avenue Gospel Hall. I don't remember the first time I was sent along to Sunday school. But I can tell you, friends, the first time I heard the glorious message of the gospel was on my mother's knee. I thank God today that I had a praying mother and a praying father. I want to stop there. Young people, don't despise your Christian parents. Thank God for you. It's a pleasure to be brought up in a home where your parents weep themselves to sleep at night, praying to God for your salvation. I never had any thought about salvation when I was young. It was just a done thing in our house. You went along to church every time the doors were opened. In our home, you weren't asked, did you want to go? It was a done thing. Your suit was put on, the tie was turned up, and out you went. You know, I thank God for a godly mother. And I thank God for a godly father. I praise God they're both alive today. God's merciful, folks. You'll find out why later. But you know, my mother did something every night. She put Philip and I, my younger brother, to bed. And she opened the Word of God. She read it. And she got down on her knees and she prayed with us. And her prayer was the same every night. God save Stephen. And God save Philip. By this stage, my two older brothers, Fergus and Clifford, they both had trusted Christ by this stage. And my mother's prayer and my father's prayer and heart's desire was household salvation. This night was different. It was the 17th of June, 1975. I was 7 years old. Mom put Philip and I to bed as usual, but the Spirit of God started working in my young heart. And I began asking Mom things about the Lord. I said to her, Mom, tell me how to be saved. Folks, I had heard how to be saved many times. I'd been brought up in the Brethren assemblies all my life. I had heard the story of the cross Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But I just needed to hear it one more time. Is there someone here tonight and you've heard about the cross? You've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ hundreds of times. But maybe you just need to hear it one more time. Sinner, listen to what Betty Law told her 7-year-old son on the 17th of June, 1975. She said, Stephen, the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God left heaven. He came down into this earth, born of a virgin. He grew up before men, and he did not sin, because he could not sin. He's the only begotten Son of God. He was despised and rejected of men. They laughed at him and they mocked him. And at the age of 33 and a half, he allowed men to take him and to beat him, to pluck the hairs from his cheek, to spit in his beautiful face, to crown him with a crown of thorns and batter and bruise him until he was unrecognizable as a man. The only begotten Son of God. Then they got him and they threw a cross on him. And they carried it outside the city wall. And that night my mother told me that when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. They lifted the cross and they plunged it in the ground with so much force that all his bones were out of joint. The sinless, spotless, only begotten Son of God. And there he shed his precious, precious blood. And on that cross, Stephen, she said, God made to meet upon him all your iniquity. She says, son, Christ died for the ungodly. 7 years old it was. You know, the Spirit of God was working in my young heart and I was just drinking it in. Christ died for the ungodly. And if Christ died for the ungodly, I'm ungodly. So that means Christ died for me. He became my substitute. He paid my penalty. Instead of me enduring the wrath of God, Christ endured it for me. And you know, then she says, son, then he died. He dismissed his spirit and died. And then the third day he rose again. And he says, come to me and I will give you rest. I will save you. Folks, 7 years of age, I just accepted that if Christ died for sinners and took my punishment and became my substitute, then he died for me. And that night, I passed from death unto life. That night, God saved me. I wish I could stand here and tell you I walked with the Lord from then until now. But I can't. But what happened from then, I was baptized and brought into assembly fellowship in Cambridge Avenue a few years later. I love the people of God. I love my church. I used to stand in the People's Park in Ballymena, and this is what I sang. I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, and ah, the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. But folks, I was oblivious to what lay ahead. Because one Saturday night in August 1991 was to be the most regretful night of my life. I got a phone call from one of the lads, Stephen, come to a Christian party down in Ballymoney. I went. The boys got into the car and they drove the cold rain and I went with them. They went to the off license. They bought their vodka, their beer and their cider. And I bought my Coke. I preached to them the whole way there and I preached to them the whole way back. Boys, you shouldn't be drinking. It's the devil's liquor. Look not upon the wine when it is red, the Bible says. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Boys, you shouldn't be drinking. But folks, I had a problem. I was filled with pride. I was proud I didn't drink. I was proud I was brethren. God forgive me. I was stinking with pride. I was so filled with spiritual pride that it was oozing out of me. I want to stop there. Before we move on to the backsliding, the outward backsliding, folks, let's start on the inward backsliding. I was rotten with it. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. I want to ask you tonight, friends. What about the pride? Thus saith the Lord. Remember, Satan was cast out of heaven because of pride. You can be filled with pride and be outwardly the greatest Christian that ever walked. That was me. And be so far away from God. Pride cometh before destruction. You know, God looks in the heart. A man looks in the outward appearance. I walked into church every Sunday and every Monday and every Thursday. And everybody thought I was a great guy. And I was far away from God. That night started running its course. The music started blaring. And the drink started rolling. There was a girl there that night and she started buffeting me all night. Stephen, have a bottle of 1080 cider. It's only 5% alcoholic volume. Folks, I refused her time after time after time until I fell. That night in August 1991, 23 years old, one who supposedly walked well with the Lord, I took my first drink. 23 years old. Unknown to me, it was spiked with vodka. And before the night finished, I found myself in the, for the first time, drunk. You know, the old song's right, folks. One drink is one too many, and a thousand's not enough. The next morning, I had my first introduction to a hangover. It was rough, but the old devil's seductful. And he brought all the boys round, and they told me how funny I was the night before. For the next 9 years, folks, I'm going to leave it out. It's gone. My God says I choose not to remember. Apart to say that I left God out of my life. Ashamed of that tonight. The one that loved me. The one that died for me. I turned my back on him. I lived for self. For sin. For the limelight. Instead of singing the songs of Zion, I used to stand in pubs and sing the Irish country rubbish that this world has to offer today. I loved the encore. I was Stevie Law, and there was no one like me. You know, folks, all the time I had a mother and father at home crying to God for their prodigal. Young man, you're breaking your father's heart. Young woman, is your mother crying herself to sleep at night over the head of you? That is one of my biggest regrets as I look over the last, over the 9 years of a backslidden life. As I used to walk out the back door on a Saturday evening and lie to my mother, and she never knew where I was going to. As I walked out the back door on my way to holidays, and she never knew if I was coming home, I put my parents through hell on earth. But I thank God for godly parents who've forgiven me. Young man, young woman who's away from the Lord, watch your ways. But God's merciful. God speaks once. That's amazing. God speaks twice. That's miraculous. Many times have God spoken, and you still haven't moved. You know, God started speaking to me in April 2000. Someone sent me a text message, and this is how it read. Stephen, how are you spiritually? I wrote back, I'm as hard as nails and as cold as ice, and not even God can sort me out. That was from one who once walked with the Savior. God spoke again. My father took me aside, and I didn't often speak to Dad. I was ashamed in his presence. And Dad took me aside and he said, Stephen, the Lord has spoken to me, and he's brought before me the parable of the fig tree. The disciple said, cut it down, it's bringing forth no fruit. The Lord said, give it one more year, fertilize it, look after it. If it doesn't bring forth any more fruit, cut it down then and throw it into the fire. He says, son, I worry about you. You have one more year. I want to ask you a question, young person. Do you know what it's like to crave for a bottle of vodka, but you can't stop? Do you know what it's like to waken up in your own vomit, lying in a bin alley, but you can't stop? I started off with a so-called joke with 5% alcoholic volume cider. And I just kept going further and further and further until the devil had me by the neck of a bottle. And I tried to stop, but I couldn't. And all I had to do was call upon the name of the Lord and be delivered. Are you under the weight of sin tonight? Are you bound by the fetters and you can't break free? He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He can set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foul as clean. How do you know? Because his blood avails for me. Jesus Christ can set you free tonight. I don't care what your bondage. I don't care what your sin. Christ and Christ alone can save. The Lord spoke again. I went into the wine bar in Larne this night, and the old saying goes, water finds its own level, and I started drinking heavily, and this other guy came over to me. He was an older guy, and he was an alcoholic as well, and I started singing all the old Irish rubbish that this world had to offer, and it was pretty sporadic at that time, and I just happened to say to him, I'm from Belfast. I'm getting out of here. He said to me, if you're going to Belfast, I'm going with you for the crack's good. So being a Ballymena man, I said to him, well, if you're going with me, you're paying the taxi. So we got a taxi and we were on our way to Belfast and we started singing again, and he stopped me. He said, Stephen, he says, would you sing me my favourite song? I said, if I know it, I'll sing it. He said, will you sing me How Great Thou Art? I said, I don't know it. One of the girls in the taxi that night, she says, Stevie, you know it, so you sing it. And folks, this is what I sang. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And I was drunk with the tears rolling down my face, and I couldn't stop drinking. That's sin. Couldn't stop. Young person, stop. Backslider, stop now. Call upon the name of the Lord and be delivered. Life wasn't worth living. Stupid things were going through my head. I had nowhere to go as far as my own mind was concerned. But then came the summer 2000, and I walked into the shop that I bought all my clothes in. And there she was, standing in all her beauty. And I fell for her. She's here tonight, folks. I praise God for her. Her name was Judith Forsyth. As I say, I fell for her the moment I saw her. And I went over to her and started talking to her. I tell you the truth, I went in every Saturday and started spending money that I didn't have just to get talking to her. Judge decided to go out, said she would go out with me in October 2000. And the first place Judd and I went to was a nightclub. Judd went out with me because I had the reputation of being a wild man. We thought we had a lot in common. We smoked the same brand of cigarettes. We both liked our drink. And we both enjoyed a wild time. That's what we had in common. Judd didn't know that I once walked with the Lord. Jude didn't know that I belonged to Christ. Jude didn't know that I had turned my back on the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All Jude knew was that Stephen Law was mad. Jude left part two in Ballymena in December 2000. Her boss was a Christian, Lynn Dornan her name is. And Lynn had tried to speak to Jude for many occasions, but Jude had just turned her away, wasn't interested in the gospel. Lynn gave Jud a going away present in December 2000, and that going away present was a Bible. Jud never had a Bible in her life, and she was 28 years old and lived in Ballyclare. Tell me, folks, have you a Bible tonight? Do you read it? If you don't, God forgive you. Jud made a pact with God. She says, God, if you're real, I'm going to read this Bible. Jude would tell you out of her own mouth that even though she came in at night drunk and could hardly see, she read the Bible. She came to me in the middle of January. She says, Stephen, I've been reading this Bible, and this Bible tells me that I need to be saved. This Bible tells me that good works won't get me to heaven. You know, for the first time in years, the backslider started talking about Christ. I told you the truth. I told her what my mother told me when I was 7 years old. I told her how that God loved her and how that Christ died for her. I told her about how the Lord Jesus Christ shed his ruby blood at the place called Calvary. How that he loved her so much that he wanted to save her. She turned around and she said to me, "Stephen, how can you speak of something with so much passion and live the life you're living?" I never mentioned it again. I was ashamed. You know, she then turned around and she said to me, she says, "Stephen, would you take me to church?" She says, "Would you take me to Whitewell?" I'm, "Whitewell? I'm brethren. I wouldn't go to Whitewell." You know, folks, that night I turned around and told you the truth. I told her I was a backslider. I told her how I was saved at 7 years old. How I walked with the Lord until I was 23. And how that I'm nothing now but an old alcohol. An old drunk. I just told her the truth. We never spoke of Christ again. I went down to see Jude on Friday the 19th of February 2001. It's a date that will stick out in my mind for the rest of my life. I went down to say goodbye to her. She was going to London the next day. We talked about everything under the sun. And that night I just told her the truth. I said, "Jude, I've drunk the price of a house. And £22,000 in debt as a start. I said, there's nothing left in life for me." As it stood, Jude really had done pretty much the same herself. You know, we talked about everything, and then God in his mercy brought the subject about his son round again. We talked about the sufferings of Christ. We talked about the beauty of his son. You know, before I left Jude that night, I told her, I said, "Jude, it's as if the Lord Jesus is sitting in the seat beside you. And he's saying, give me your hand. Give me your life. Let me save you. Let me go through life with you and take your problems and take your all. I don't promise you a bed of roses, but I'll go through life with you. Let me take you. Surrender your all to me. Let me save you. Let me give you everlasting life." Told her how to be saved. As I walked out the door, I turned round and I said to her, "Jude, there's nothing worth dying without Christ for." And I left her. I got into the car and I started weeping. And I started praying for the first time in years. And my prayer was, "God, save Jude. Forget about me. I'm too far gone." I arrived home and my mother was standing at the back in the kitchen ironing. She got a shock. "Stephen's home. Stephen's crying." She says, "What's wrong, son?" I says, "Mom, you pray for my girlfriend because she's going to get saved tonight." She says, "Who's your girlfriend?" Such was my life that my parents knew nothing about it. My mom and dad got down on their knees and they prayed for a girl they never met in their life before. Jude went to London the next day and I prayed the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and heard nothing. She came home the next Saturday. I met her in store in Ballymena and I just wanted her to tell me. I could see it. She told me nothing. But I was honest with her and I looked at her with all the honesty I had in my eyes over a cup of coffee and I said to her, "Jude, I've been doing a lot of thinking this week. There's only one thing left in life for me. Here goes for the bottle." And folks, I meant it. We left. And that night, for some reason or other, I went to Cambridge Avenue Gospel Hall. Jude sent me a text message and she said, "Where are you and what are you doing?" I said, "I'm sitting in church, bored to tears, choking for a drink." She says, "Meet me." So I went home and changed my clothes and went to Ballyclare, picked Jude up. We went to the Ballybow pub in Ballyclare. I walked in and sat down. I walked up to the bar and, folks, I want to tell you something. My first drink was a 1080 cider, 5% volume. And now we're on double vodka and a dash of lime straight, 40%. you see the way the world and the devil will take. Went up to the bar and I got my drink and I got you a bottle of beer. You see, folks, I wasn't sharp enough because she wasn't drinking. I went up to the bar again and I got myself another drink. Went up to the bar again and I got myself another drink. But Jude wasn't drinking. I came back down to the chair and I got my glass and I started bringing it up to my mouth. And I looked at her and the tears were rolling down her face. I says, "Dear Jude, what are you crying for?" She says, "Stephen, I got saved 3 hours after you left me last Friday night." Folks, I got the glass and I rammed it on the table, shaking like a leaf. I says, "God, I can't stop this. But we are helpless as my last." As we both got up from its chair and we walked round to her apartment, as we got on our knees, I want to ask you, friend, young person, older friend, have you ever wept in the presence of God uncontrollably? Have you ever shaken uncontrollably in the presence of God? I did, as I repented of 9 years of the ugliest form of sin. What did he do? He said, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Now he's found." 7 years kept by the very palm of the hand of God. 7 years from the very gutter of sin. Did I break the habit? No. I am nothing. Christ is everything. Jesus Christ is Lord. Folks, I am nothing. I'm a failure. I'm dirt. But Jesus Christ is all in all. Tell me, what will you do when with Jesus? Which is called Christ. God save you. May God restore you for his name's sake.